stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory.
For that, Nick. Of course, this is the first time we've ever done this. I kind of like it. I feel like sometimes you go to a restaurant with my wife. Of course, I only take her to the romantic spots. You know how that is. McDonald's, Taco Bell, some of those others. And, you know, the lights are dim. And I don't know, when you get a little older, I'm not old, but when you get a little older, how many of you, it's like if it's dark, it's you have a trouble reading the menu, right? And so sometimes that's how I feel tonight, but we're going to do our best here, and I kind of like this, and thank you for being here and being faithful. I think it's important that we understand that what Christmas is really all about. I'm going to read a few verses in Luke chapter number 2. That's the prototypical passage, and I need a little more light over here, prototypical passage about the birth of Christ. It's verse 1. I'm going to start it. You can see, by the way, you say, how come we don't have real candles? A couple reasons. Number one, I don't think the fire marshal would be very happy with us if we did. And number two, I don't like wax on the carpets. Okay, so you got LED candles. Have a good time with them. I get the real candles up here. And so Luke chapter number 2, we will not be long. I just want to share a brief thought here. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would be with us tonight. We pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts through the message, the brief message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read a few more verses as we go here. "And there were," verse 8, in the same country, "shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Of course, we saw that Linus had it right when he read those verses, when he quoted those verses. By the way, used to be that even in our society, which is more and more secular, that they understood what Christmas was all about. And I think we've lost that. But as we look at the story tonight, I want us to remember what Christmas is all about. In our story, it's very well known, of course, a decree is given for them to be taxed. Back in that time, there was a, with the Romans being sovereign, when the leader said something, everybody in the world started moving. By the way, I've noticed something. In the dark, y'all look so much better. And I know what you're saying. In the dark, you look a lot better. Thank you for that. But when he would get up and make a decree, it happened. And so he makes this decree, and it kind of seems off the cuff, but in the whole realm of things, the sovereignty of God was at play. And everybody had to go back to their own town to be taxed. And so here we are. Mary is ready to give birth, and they have to take the long track to Bethlehem, where Joseph and his family were from, because that's where they went to be taxed. They get there, and of course, it's time for the baby to come. Don't babies come at very inconvenient times? Okay, it seems like it should be a 50% chance that children are born during the day, but it's like 90% chance they're going to be born at night. And they come at very inopportune times. But Jesus is going to be born. And we see that they go to find a place as Joseph is trying to find somewhere for his wife and comfort to give birth, that there's nowhere for them. And they went to an inn. Can you think about how really, in a sense, heartless it is as they come to this end, and the baby is ready to be born, and they're telling, and by the way, babies, when they're ready, they're ready, they're coming. And this man says, no room. Probably some financial gain, as many people were probably traveling into town to be taxed, but there was no room for them there. But maybe in a moment of compassion, he says, there's a stable, there's a place out there, where your manger, where you can go out and have the baby. But he didn't have room for him in the inn. I thought about that phrase as I was thinking about the message. How true is it in our life and in our society and even at Christmas time that people have no room for Jesus Christ? Right. You know, I saw a story that a lady in one of our public schools, I think she was a nurse, she put up on her door for Christmas, she decorated her door, she put a picture of Linus, and she put the verses there that he was quoting. And of course, you know what happened. They came and said, take that off right now. in our Constitution. It's the separation of church and state, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution. There is no wall. That was something that was written later, and it's misinterpreted. But that just shows, I remember look, I remember as a little child, and don't raise your hand on this because you'll date yourself here, there was a television show called Romper Room. Okay, some of you remember that, right? I remember two things about the show. The teacher would take this magic thing out, and she would look into television land, and she would say hi to the children. She'd say, "I see Mary." And I'm like, how does she see them? And I was waiting for her to say Steve. Well, of course, if you say Mary, you're going to get a pretty good crowd, okay, because somebody named Mary is watching. But I remember another thing on Romper Room. There was like a little classroom scene, and they would sit down, and they would have snack time. And the teacher would always pray before they had a snack. If she did that now, she'd be hit with a lawsuit. But it's amazing that people don't have room for Jesus. And the point I want to make briefly tonight is, when you don't have room for Jesus, you're missing out on the good things.
Yes, sir.
What did they miss out by not having room for Jesus? As we read what the angels saw, I think we see some things we miss out on. At this time of year, people are nicer to each other. People have a little more, until you're at the mall, but usually they're a little bit nicer to each other, and people are a little happier because they're getting time off of work, which is great, by the way. They get to be with their families, which is great. The good food, yes. The music, it's tremendous. But they're missing out on what they could have, which is a little bit more. I want to ask you tonight, do you have no room for Jesus Christ? Because he didn't end up as a baby, he ended up as a man. When we have no room for Jesus Christ, we have no room for overcoming our fear. The angel said unto them, "Fear not." You know we're a fearful people. It must be true because it's all over the Bible. Fear not. Now, specifically, the angels were probably a little fearful when an angel showed up. But we live in a time and in a society when there are so many things to fear. We can fear maybe our health going bad. We can fear maybe financial hardship. We can fear, and by the way, if you listen to what's going on around us, there's a lot of things to fear. But boy, when you have room for Jesus Christ, you can overcome all of those fears. You know why? Because Jesus is in control. Are you a little fearful tonight? Are there things that maybe you're not? I'm not talking about, you know, you're walking around on eggshells, but there's certain things in your mind sometimes that come into play, like, am I going to lose my job? How's it going to go this year? Maybe you worry about your child. Whatever it is, you can overcome that fear if you just have room for Jesus Christ. Do you have no room for fear, for overcoming fear? Do you have no room for good news? For behold, I bring you good tidings. Do you know Jesus Christ is good news? I don't like listening to the news. Two things happen when I listen to the news. Number one, I get depressed. Number two, I get upset. And by the way, most of the news is always from a negative slant. It's always just a few little pet things they're trying to push and force down our throat. Used to be the news just told you what happened. But now you get so caught up in what's going on in this world, it can be very depressing. You can get very down. But let me just tell you something. With Jesus Christ, there's good news. You can listen to everything. And I have to remind myself, this election, all the nonsense, and you listen to it, it's like, man, what's going on here? And I have to snap back and say, you know what? Let me look to the Bible, because it is all good if we know Jesus Christ. But do we get into the Bible? The Bible's the good news. Remember, there's a ministry we have around here for those in addiction. It's called RU. It's at a church in Rockford, Illinois. The man that's helping to run it now, his name is Ben Burks. I went to Bible college with him. And I remember we used to work on the bus routes, and we'd pick up people and take them all day long, and we would rent the buses from another state, and we'd take them home. And late that night, all the bus workers, we'd get up and we'd preach to each other. And I remember him giving this story. I don't know why I remember it. He had talked about how in his family, they always got a lot of gifts at Christmas time. And something was wrong one year. They had some financial hardships. And he said, I only got one present this particular year. He said, my parents gave me a Bible. He said, as I look back on it now, that was the best gift I ever got. Amen. You know why? Because it's good news. You want good news? You want to have a better spirit this year? You want to have the spirit that people have now at Christmas all year long? Know Jesus Christ. Have room for him, and you can have good news. Do you have no room for great joy? I bring you good news of great joy. People are happy this time of year. People are do nice things for each other. They're just kinder, and they have a joy that most people, when Christmas is over, they go right back to the way things were before. When I was in Bible college again, I worked a third shift job at Solo Cup. It was a 24-hour operation. And so third shift was always the last shift before the Christmas break. They gave us a few days off. And whenever it was that last day, the whole shift was really nothing more than just they would have a Christmas party. Everything went really, really slow. There was very little work to do. They had food and all the stuff in the break room, and you could go whenever you wanted. Really, there wasn't much to do. We would get off at 6 in the morning, but really about 4 o'clock in the morning, everything would shut down, but we would just clean up a little, and we would just kind of hang out. And being an operation where things went 24/7, the breaks were always, we're always ongoing. And so you would go in the break room and you'd see some people in there and they'd come out. And there was this group of ladies and they were always, you'd be in the break room and they'd talk and then they'd leave and a couple more. And they were always arguing and bickering with each other. But I remember that I was sitting around. It was like 4 in the morning. There was nothing to do. And I was sitting at the station where I usually work and just waiting for the clock to go. And here were all these ladies together at this one little quality control spot. And they were all singing songs together. They were all being friendly and hugging each other and singing Christmas carols. And I sat there and I watched that, and I realized that come January 1st, that was going to end very quickly. They go back to cutting each other up. But a thought hit me. You know that joy that they're having right now just because it's Christmas and they're going to get some days off? It's like, I have that every single day of the year. I enjoy Christmas, don't get me wrong. I take the time off with the family and we go do things and we have a great time. But you know what? You can have joy with Jesus Christ all the time. It doesn't have to be limited to certain days on the calendar. But it's amazing how often people will choose something subpar in their life. Do you have no room for that? The last thing is this, and I think most of us here would understand this. So many people have no room for eternal salvation. It said in verse 11, "For unto you is born unto this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Aren't you thankful that the whole reason that God became a man in the form of Jesus Christ is to change our eternal destiny? We ought to think about that this Christmas season. See, we like Easter and we think about the resurrection and Jesus dying on the cross, but can I just tell you something? It started that cold night in Bethlehem when there was no room for him in the end. And his family, he was brought physically into this world. But the second that he came into this world, the clock was ticking towards that time that he would be crucified on the cross. One of the favorite songs, Brother Pineda likes it, and I like it too. It's "Born to Die Upon Calvary." He had a purpose, and his purpose was our salvation. And so this Christmas season, let's never forget that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. You say, "I already know that. I'm already saved." Do you share that with others? Our theme this year is making a difference. You know what we really want to do? We don't want to just show up to church and have a good time with each other. We really want to make a difference in other people's lives. Amen. It could be someone sitting in this church service or sitting in our services on Sunday that go to our church that's having a tough time. It could be someone that comes in here we don't even know. But let's make a difference. How come? Because Jesus made a difference in our life by saving us. The greatest gift I ever received wasn't on a Christmas day. Was actually on an Easter Sunday when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. And if you have that testimony in your life, never forget that. Listen, we must have room for Jesus Christ. You know, there's a sign over by our house at a church, and it's not true, and they're very liberal in their beliefs, but it's like, Jesus never rejected anybody, neither do we. And I understand, in a sense, Jesus loves everybody. But it's not about him rejecting us. It's so often about us rejecting him. Don't reject him in your life. Maybe you're a Christian. You say, I come to church and I get just enough. Do you know God has more for you? He has the abundant life. Let's take that today. I'm just the kind of person, if somebody's given something out, I'll take it. If you say, hey, you go over here, they'll give you $100. I'm in line. Okay? If someone said, here's a choice. You could have $10 or you could have $1,000. I'll take the $1,000. Okay? Jesus offers so much more.
That's right.
But how many of us sometimes, and we all do it maybe small times in our lives, we have no room for him. We're like the innkeeper saying, nope, sorry. Oh, but my wife's going to, sorry, I don't have room. Let's make sure we have room for Jesus Christ. Not just this Christmas, but let's have room for him 365 days a year. Let's all stand tonight.